Playrock Football's Beyond the Boundary podcast. It is an in-depth look at all things local football. The only place you'll see the GFNL, the BFNL and the GDFNL covered off in podcast format in the Geelong region. I'm Tom King and my co-pilot is Jason Doherty. Jason, yes. Good afternoon.
How are you, Tom King?
Good. I like the fact we had 17 games of local footy on the weekend.
Finally, something else to talk about, but your cricket career and my career. It's great.
It is actually hard to keep a tab on 17 games. So if we miss something from your club, we apologise, but we do make phone calls. We do talk to people, but we don't get to 34 clubs, unfortunately, in a very short space of time.
No, but most of you know where we live. So anyway, let us know.
Yes, and, or have our phone numbers.
So yes, let us know.
Not too far away, actually, is the KFC tip-off line coming to Carrick Footballs.
Well, that's going to be interesting to see what we get from who and start to sort of work our way through what's real and what's not.
Yeah, because in some cases, some things are not necessarily real.
There'll be a few reptiles out there who'll give us some stuff that'll lead us up the garden path and we'll just go, hang on a minute.
Is Tom Gribble's syndesmosis real?
Well, allegedly it is, but I don't think the club's talking. I mean,
we know
the coach's father.
He won't say anything.
One of the coaches' fathers. He won't say anything. Like, he shut up shop. I don't know. But rumour is
denied by MOs.
Okay. Well, okay.
Let's see what the teams are this week.
I was going to say, we look forward to him being back in the team.
Talking about injuries. ACL, another one.
Yes.
Well, on the way. So, unfortunately for Riley Orr.
Yeah, that's terrible. Especially so early in the season. And, you know, he started well. We watched him against North Shore. He was good. And, it's not good for a young boy to have to go through that process.
No, he only played, I think, 3 games last year. Just a couple of opportunities open up with some departures. And he tries to take the opportunity. So that story is at krock.com.au. The upside for Newtown, though, is I think they thought Flynn Young's ankle injury was worse than they initially
So a bit of a reprieve for him.
Feared. So he may still play this week and make the trek to Colac.
Well, that's good for them because... Yeah.
That'll be where he's called, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a tough gig to go to Colac, especially after Samiri's defeat. So
Damien McMahon said they've never won there in his time.
Really?
No, at Colac.
Wow, gee.
I think they do this week.
Really?
Yep.
Do you think Colac are on the...
Well, I said they were the slider this year.
You did?
I said Bell Park were the improver.
Yes, so that's come to fruition, so that's good.
Round one in. Call me Nostradamus.
Yeah, no, I'm not calling you that. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that goes. I mean, obviously, we all thought Bell Park were going to improve, but, geez, you wouldn't want to be 0-2, the Tigers, and lose your first at home.
Which is rare, like, obviously.
Absolutely,
you can almost bank them for 7 wins down there.
Pretty much. It's like Geelong at GMHBA. You sort of think they're going to start well. So, anyway, we'll see.
Feely, Pitt, and Noffy.
Yes.
Sounds like a law firm.
I was going to say, have I been to see them recently? Feely, Pitt and Noffy.
No win, no charge.
Yeah. No win, no fee. Yes, well, that's a trio.
I think Noffy will be okay.
Yeah, I think he was, they sort of said that after the game, didn't they?
We're still waiting for word. I've had some minimal interaction with Gary Hocking over the last 24 hours, just waiting for further confirmation.
Yeah.
Training last night would have told a little bit more. So Feely came off with a suspected head knock.
Yeah, he's probably going to be...
The 21 days. Pitt with a calf, who was our Leopold Sporties Player of the Day.
Not crash on, I don't think.
No.
It's a 3 or 4 week job.
Which is a bit stiff, unfortunately, because he looked really good. If there was any concerns about the post-Mitch Patton era.
Yeah. Mitch who?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting to see how they did it because we always knew they were going to be tall. You know, we always knew they're going to have, Jennings and they're going to, Giddings and Pitt and Sheehan. And, how are they going to play them all together and who are they going to put around them? Like, Billy Clark wasn't my assumption that it was going to play around those three,
no.
But he did a great job.
Yep. Brock Williamson's the other one.
Brock Williamson, yeah. So it was just interesting to see how they manoeuvred those guys and it worked. It was working pretty well.
But the thing about that trio of Sheehan, Pitt and Giddings,
They're
all mobile once the ball hits
the
ground.
Yeah, and they went a lot. I mean, at times the machine was playing the ruck, Pitt was up the ground, so they certainly had obviously trained for it. You know, that was the thing. But losing him now, that's not great.
Buddha very much was on. I think was very pointed when we talked about Trent West after the game and basically said, stop talking about him because you're basically disrespecting Kyle Bumstead. And Bumstead's game against a pretty impressive opponent in Tyler Watts was pretty good.
It was, and he was, as we said, he was chopped out by Sheen and a couple of others. But, I mean, his first up effort, I mean, he won, obviously won the medal last year in the reserves. He's had a good season in there in the Leopold team. So, like, you'd suspect that they were always planning on him taking over. Yeah. And you would have thought that he's obviously done a lot of work with Trent anyway, training-wise, last year. So he was outstanding. Yeah, he's going to be good.
He's got Nick Minchin this week. So our krockfootball.live game of the week is St Mary's and Leopold from 1 o'clock. St Mary's were very good first up. Very good with a team that had Harry Ling playing in the reserves.
I saw that.
Deion Johnston playing. But coming back from injury, yes. Admittedly, Deion Johnston. Yes. Harry Ling had been playing in the NT.
In Northern Territory, yes.
And I think living up there too. So he hadn't done anything with St Mary's. Yep. So the word used to me by Luke Rayner was selection integrity is basically why Harry Ling played in the reserves.
Okay. Well, he's a handy inclusion when he finally gets to be selected integrally.
No Orgarinos.
Yeah, I saw that.
No Copley.
Wow, gee whiz. And they had a couple of others in the twos too. Luke Hillier played in the twos. Chris Jansen played in the twos. Yep. Yeah. Well, we were talking about their depth. It looks okay.
Yep. It does look okay. Trent McMullen's not playing this year.
At all?
Won't play.
Really?
No. So Michael Rudd's wearing the 31.
Right. And that's because work?
Work, yeah. Work. So I think work takes him
is
to New Zealand.
Is he to New Zealand? Yes. Back and forth, yeah.
So he's having a year off. Talking about players having a year off, I was talking to Winchelsea this morning because Cassidy Parrish has now been cleared.
Yeah, I saw that.
Tom Henry's having a year off.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Right.
Which hurts, because I think he captained them last year.
Yeah, he's in the leadership group. Somehow. Oh, that's not good.
The other brother.
Yeah, the other brother. The other Henry. Yeah. No, he from all reports, had a good season too last year. Yeah.
So he's having a year off as well. So I just asked Brendan Forsman about him.
Luke, is he happy to take your call again, Brendan? He's used to the Tom King scenario. Yeah,
His words were, happy to take your call anytime. Yeah. We're going to get him on Beyond the Boundary, and not talk football, but talk motorsport.
Isn't he a motorsport guru now?
After
Forsman Motorsport?
Yes. After being a very, as we know, good local cricketer.
Very good.
He hits a very, very good golf ball. I think club champion at Kerr Lewis.
All right.
Yeah, he's one of those blokes.
Yeah, one of those blokes. I mean, he's a good bloke, but we really don't like. You know, come on, Fors.
Luke Ford, another one from Grovedale.
Yes, Queenscliff.
Played in the twos last week. Will probably play in the ones this week.
You reckon?
They go to Anglesey, yeah.
Was there a bit of selection integrity for that one too?
I think it was a very late call. Well, I don't think you can roll a bloke into a club.
I don't think he's done much pre-season either. He's done a fair cricket scenario.
Well, he'll be fit enough.
He'll be fit, yeah. But it's simulation, match play. But yeah, he's going to be handy for them down there.
Port Arlington's injury woes just got worse last week. So I don't know what's come out of Ammo's, but they already were missing Goats, Rioza, and Murdoch.
So what was wrong with Goats?
I'm not sure of Goats.
I've said to you before, he's the key in the back line for them. He's a big loss.
They'll get Whiffen back this week, so I think that's the 3 weeks up, 21 days. So if he's right and given medical clearance, he'll play. So it'll be interesting to see what team they roll out this week. They got the little reality check from Ammo's last week.
Well, I mean, it was always going to happen, wasn't it? It was going to be somewhere along the line, and I think, Ammo's a different proposition at home to the others.
P. Dowling?
Just going okay. Yeah. Tommy Gorrell's still kicking goals too, the youngster.
He is.
Gee whiz. Yeah, no, he's going all right. I saw him a couple of weeks ago. I made sure I told him that he'd be on Beyond the Boundary, so make sure you listen out.
Good.
Give you a shout out.
Grovedale, just another one, Mitch Chafer. He's in a moon boot. Jacob Spalding's told me he's unlikely to play until after round six of the bye.
Right.
So that's June.
Okay. Feet are a problem. Is it foot or ankle?
Well, I think it's ankle.
Right, okay. That's not good for him.
Still not good. Inverleigh unfurl their flag this week.
Finally.
Yep.
Against East Geelong.
Yes.
Yes, against the Eagles.
They do.
Well, they'll be happy about that, the Eagles.
I don't think you'll see Michael Best for a few weeks.
What's he done?
Concussion.
Oh, no.
Going back to round one. And he's had a couple through his career.
Yeah.
Just started a new job, actually.
Oh, right.
He's teaching out at Leopold Primary.
Is he really?
Yes.
Is he a teacher?
He's a teacher.
Right.
And he's a decent bloke. And I think you well know he's a decent bloke.
He's a great bloke. And he seriously is a star footballer too at that club.
Yep.
And unfortunately, though, does put his head into places he shouldn't. So you can see why. So hopefully okay for him.
Luke Wilson got injured early last week.
Yes.
So that might leave. And I believe They might be missing Cad McEwen Walsh as well, so that might leave Mason Dixon to have to carry the ruck work this week. But at least it's not against Tim McLennan.
Yeah, but I think the new bloke goes okay too.
Yes, he does.
Yes, from Bowen Heads.
Correct.
Who's unfurling the flag? Do we know that?
No, I don't know.
No. All right, we'll find that out.
I need to apologise to Shelley Hockley because...
Why?
Well, it did get back to her that maybe I undersold Shelley Hockley a little bit because the tradition at Leopold is that they get the wife of the president at the time to unfurl the flag.
Correct.
So that's happened in the past and it happened this time. And as probably the wives of those previous presidents, we're probably undersold too, because I think you'll find that Helen Graham, wife of Tony, was a life member. Right. I think Fiona Thompson's a life member at Leopold when Brendan was president.
Right.
And Shelley's also a life member. And they've all been great contributors to the club, rather than just being
the president's wife.
The eye candy for the president. Right. So
did you get slapped?
I didn't.
Suitably?
Via message I did.
Good.
Yeah.
Well done, Shelley. Well played.
So public apology. That Shell's contribution.
Life member of the club.
Immeasurable.
Well done. Good work, Shelley.
I apologise
for
that.
We like when people suitably slap him around. That's good.
Have you brought anything?
I have brought absolutely nothing to the table today.
Donuts?
I'm donuts. I've been very boring. I've been doing work this week and not...
You've actually had to work.
I've actually had to work a couple of days and it's very annoying.
krock.com.au. We'll keep you up to date. Every Friday, too, do keep an eye out. If you want a comprehensive look at the changes to teams, we'll look at the key ones every week in articles for all three leagues. So stay across that, and we'll try and keep you up to date with as much information as we can, because we try to be as on the ball with everything as we can be.
And possibly don't read the teams on PlayHQ before Saturday at 11 o'clock. Because if you're reading them, they're possibly wrong.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah. Oh, look, and some clubs are naming squads and stuff. I believe the clubs might have, the AFL Barn clubs especially, who have been naming to be selected froms, might have got a little clip last week.
That's good. I mean, everybody knows who's playing anyway. This town is that small.
Yeah.
Like, everybody knew Tom Hawkins wasn't going to play on Sunday. That's how small a world it is. Like, so, I mean, for local footy, I mean, it's, come on. As Mark Neal says, it's community sport, people. Come on.
Yeah. We've got three great guests to have a chat to later. Joffy Simkin, coming off 4 goals.
Nice.
But off a loss. This is the theme here.
Yes.
Andrew Bosley, off a loss.
Off a loss.
And very shortly.
I'll be happy about this.
And our first guest, Tom Couch, off a loss. Not ideal, but...
Yeah. Can you organise that something better? or they can organise it and get a win.
Anglesey this week, Queenscliff.
Ooh, tough. Where at?
Down at...
down at the Cooter Bowl.
No, down at Anglesey.
Oh, they'll be right.
Colac at home to Newtown and Chilwell.
Yeah, tough, but you should get the chocolates.
And the Roos this week have got Werribee Centrals.
At home?
At home.
Oh, it's like a local derby.
Yeah, it is a little bit.
Just over the hill.
Yes.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But before we get on to talking GDFNL and GFNL in depth, time to talk a bit of Ballerine footy now with Tom Couch. Couchy, thanks for joining us on Beyond the Boundary. How do we find you on a Wednesday afternoon?
Just got back from the footy club. So I was at Carlton this morning. Did some skill sessions with the girls. And, just got home, so... Bit of life admin today, boys. What about yourself?
Yeah. Well, we're keen to talk to you because obviously what you do is a little bit different to a normal local footballer, and you know, you're still in the AFL, AFLW system in some way, shape or form. So talk to us about your role, and I suppose how does that sort of tie in with being able to still play local footy?
Yeah, thanks. So with the AFLW, so I'm a forward line coach for this season. I was the midfield coach last year, also head of development. So do a lot of one-on-one sessions with the players, particularly this part of the year. Obviously, pre-season doesn't start till the first week of June. So we encourage the players to come in. It's not compulsory, but those that want to come in, I'm available for skill sessions. That can be, basic fundamentals or, position specific to how, the senior coach, Matty Buck, sees where they're going to play the upcoming year.
Is it good for you in terms of getting your hands on the footy? Is it reflected on a Saturday that, you know, you're getting that so much touch during the week just beyond normal training that it helps you when you get out there at 2 o'clock on a Saturday, Arvo?
Yeah, definitely. Particularly when, you know, you're working with the forwards and we're having shots on goal for an hour. It definitely doesn't hurt. But I remember last year playing a few games for Croy and kicked a couple of goals the first couple of games, and then got the girls' footy in my hands for the first time during the week, and then went down to Croy and I think I kicked 1-8 or something like that. So it was just, yeah, obviously kicking a different size footy. So, yeah, I think just obviously muscle memory, you know, kicking all those times as a kid and obviously throughout my career. But, yeah, it does help. But every now and then you get a men's footy in your hand and you're like, how do you kick this? It's heavier and it's... it's good fun. It's good balance.
And so before we talk, Tom, about Anglesey, yeah, you were at Croit last year. What was the relationship there? Well, how did you get to play down there? And there's a little bit of travel going to play at Croit.
Yeah, it was. So going back to 2018, I was down at North Launceston and won a premiership there. And then just, I guess, my footy career was transitioning into more, focusing more on my career. So I was working at Tennis Australia for a couple of years there,
yep.
2018, 2019. Had no intention of playing 2019 at all. I was really, you know, focused on work, and uncle gave me a call and said, why don't you come have a kick with your cousin? And I'd never played with family before. I never got the chance to play with brother. So, went down there, and it was awesome, actually. Just, you know, normally I'd see my aunties and uncles, grandparents, maybe only once or twice a year, maybe just at Christmas. So to go down, I think I played about 6 or 7 games in 19. It was awesome just to, you know, reconnect with them, particularly as I started to travel with work. I didn't really get a chance to leave Melbourne or go much further than Geelong to see mum. So, yeah, that was more the family connection. And then when I came back last year after living in the States, same sort of thing. Uncle just gave me a call and said, why don't you come down and have a kick? So I think, yeah, same thing, played about 6 or 7 games. So when you only play that amount of games, it's not too bad. But I think when I played sort of back-to-back games, I think I may have played 3 in a row there. And by the third one, I was sort of just hanging on, to be honest. So it's particularly when I was driving down for the day, it got a bit much. But, it's a great footy club. Coach Chris McLaren's probably one of the best, if not the best, I've seen in terms of his connection with the group. So it was awesome to go down there. And they're a great footy club. I think they won 7 flags in a row. So it's actually a good experience, even though you might be working with the world-class athletes or, you know, an elite footy club, to be able to see the connection amongst the players and the coaches and the staff and everyone. It was actually beneficial for me too.
James Gow, he was one of your teammates last year. He's come back to St. Joey's this year. Will we see the best of James Gow based on what you saw last year?
Yeah, I'm not if he's fit and well, then yeah absolutely. Gow is as tough as they come and cracks in, and he was a great teammate to play with, along with a few others. The Dobson twins, you know, great players. And but yeah, obviously Gow was a great teammate, and yeah, I'm sure he's slip straight in the Joeys and we'll have a good year.
The tennis stuff, talk to us about that. What was that experience like, and, you know, getting to travel the world and go to all the big tournaments? Like, you know, is there, you know, obviously you get to go to Wimbledon and, you know, Roland Garros and Flushing Meadow. Is there one of those that you really enjoyed being at and, you know, really, you know, felt the vibe of the tennis world?
Yeah, 2016, I sort of did a little bit. I was still playing VFL footy, but I was able to sort of go to Wimbledon for a couple of weeks, and just remember going through the gates and the first time going in with a Porsche, mind you, with the Wimby signage on the outside, and just remember thinking, I'm just a kid from Groby. How the hell did I get here? But that was a pretty emotional time, actually, because Dad had just passed, and it was really his idea. Like, he sort of planted the idea, I reckon, when I was in my early 20s, about doing something like this, you know, working on the tennis tour. So that was a pretty cool moment where I was able to go over for 2 or 3 weeks and experience Wimbledon, and just with the history and everything there was pretty cool, but also time for reflection too, to think about the journey and how Dad got me there.
Yeah, absolutely. Will you get back into tennis at some stage, Couchy, or are you comfortable with what you're doing at AFLW level?
Yeah, and no, I love the footy. I got no intention to get back on the road. I helped out at the Australian Open for a couple of weeks, and I felt like that was enough. It was sort of good to see everyone again. It was actually a bit like Christmas, where you see everyone for the first time in 12 months, and you know, so like, g'day, how you going? Yeah, catch up with you know, later on, but you know, you're not going to see him for another year. So it was kind of a bit like that, but it was good. You obviously build a lot of connections when you're traveling for 4 or 5 years. You know, you have to sort of have that bond with players and coaches when you find yourself, you know, enjoying amazing experiences, whether that be at the courts or maybe sightseeing, but also the lows too, you know, can be quite tough. It's actually quite brutal for those that, you know, are sort of living week to week. You know, you could be in countries that you don't particularly enjoy, the food might not be the best, lack of support, they might not have a coach or whatever it may be. Homesickness is quite common, particularly for Australians, because we're away for so long of the year. So that was really cool to reconnect. I feel like you've sort of got that for life, that bond. But that was probably enough for me. And I still enjoy helping. There's probably 4 or 5 players that are travelling, but helping them remotely.
Two-part question. What do you like with a racket in hand?
I got better. Yeah. So I guess it's all relative. I actually got better when I'd hit with the pros. Marky Polman's did a bit of work with Marky, and yeah, we were having a hit at Flushing Meadows on one of the outdoor courts, and I was actually flushing them pretty well. I was like, feeling pretty good about myself, but as soon as I hit with someone that, you know, they start moonballing, I just can't get a feel for it. So no, it was great actually, particularly during COVID over in Florida. Got the ball machine out and was working on the oney. So I don't know, every 1 in 3 would probably go in. The other 2 would probably hit the back fence, but it's good fun. But I was mindful of not getting on the court and hitting with the players, because that's not your area of expertise. Like, you can only embarrass yourself, really. So I really, you know, focused on, it's sort of a bit like when you're at a footy club, you know, asking an AFL player to come for a kick. It's the same thing when you're on the tour working with a tennis player. Like, for them, it's a job. And you sort of have to manage the loads and things like that. And you're actually trying to get them in and out as quickly as you can.
Yep. So part two of that, Couchy, is there somebody you did hit up with, you go, I can't believe I'm hitting a tennis ball with this bloke? Or woman?
I was hitting with Cruz Hewitt a few years ago, and Leighton was watching. We actually played a couple sets, and I absolutely shit myself. So Leighton was watching. So obviously Leighton was someone I idolised. And so we played Cruz. This is my claim to fame. Cruz was about 11, I think, and I actually won a set of him. And that was it. That's probably, I reckon, this was COVID years, maybe 21. And then, yeah, Leighton came out the next day and I went to water, and it was so embarrassing. So, That was something I think about. It was love and love, and I may have won like 3 or 4 points. So I got pretty tight there. But just like I would feed, like in terms of, you know, wouldn't necessarily hit all the time, but you'd be, you know, feeding on centre court on Roland Garros, for example. So, you know, if I was working with a player and I was the only staff with them, then to start a point, generally a coach is on the side of the baseline and they start the point, they'll hit it to the other player. So, yeah, I did that quite a few times. You know, Rod Laver, over in the US. Never gone on the centre court at Wimby. Court 1 was a pretty cool experience. But, I was able to sort of walk on the biggest courts in the world, which is pretty cool.
That is cool.
Well, I was going to do quick fire with you, Tom. So what's the most iconic tennis championship you've been to? Is it Wimbledon? Is it US Open? What's the best for you?
I think Wimbledon's pretty tough to beat. I love the French. Like, I love the clay. I just love how physical it is.
Yep.
But in terms of how the tournament runs, Wimbledon's better, but I enjoy the scenery around the French too. So you won't find too many players or coaches that say that, but it's a tough one. Aussie's the best slam, no doubt. But it's hard to beat the history of Wimbledon and the French, and the US is is crazy.
Tennis player,
it's a madhouse.
Tennis player that you'd have a beer with, who would it be?
Probably Thanasi Kokkinakis. Yeah, so
yeah, right.
I had a couple of beers with Kok, so he's a bit of fun.
And the player you wouldn't have a beer with? Come on, tip somebody in, Tom. Tip somebody in.
Oh, that's actually a tough question. That one actually came to my head.
Well, that's a good thing, I suppose.
I'll have to make it up.
Yeah,
nah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. That's good. No. That's good.
And on a footy front, Anglesey, how did you find yourself wearing an Anglesey jumper?
Geordie Kerris gave us a call, I think, around mid-October and was calling me probably two or three times a week ever since.
So, he's a pest.
yeah, he keeps going, Geordie, so he gets the answer he wants. But no, it actually just worked out. It worked out really well. I spent a bit of time with Mum over Christmas in Ginger, and I thought, oh, this is actually pretty cool. I want to try and get home a bit more often since I was away for so long. So obviously I was already talking to Geordie, and it just seemed to, you know, to be a pretty easy fit in the end.
You've played all three games so far. Do we expect you to be a permanent presence in the Anglesey lineup, or is it going to have to be something that gives at some stage?
I won't play every game. I'm not playing this week. Probably, you know, I'm looking to about probably 12 games this year. That was kind of what we spoke about. Yeah, even going back sort of 6-7 years ago when I was trying to play every game, you sort of get to the end of the year, and I think it's important to manage yourself as well, particularly during winter, the colder months when you're working as well. So I think 12 would be a good result.
Yep. Are you hanging out for the, you know, Anglesey are expected to make a pretty good run this year? I know you got beaten last week by Drysdale, but you're going to be thereabouts. You're going to have AFLW practice matches. I think grand final weekend of the Ballerines round two. Now, I know we're dreaming big here, but have you thought about that you could run into a bit of a schedule conflict?
Not really. Not at this point. Thanks for bringing that up. I think first and foremost, we've got to get there. And that's the exciting thing. I think Anglesey is obviously, you know, building off the last couple of years. They've improved every year under Geordie. The weekend was pretty disappointing, but I think at this point in time, you're obviously just trying to bank enough wins to be thereabouts to, you know, hopefully make the top three. And I think there's a lot of learnings talking to Geordie on Sunday from the game. So I think, I'm pretty confident that, you know, when the whips are cracking at the end of the year, we're going to be thereabouts.
Tom, I just wanted to talk to you about the Tasmanian scenario. Obviously, you know, major player at North Launceston, won the premiership. And just from your perspective, the Tasmanian Devils and what that impact's going to have on football in the Apple Isle?
Oh, it's incredible. It really is. Just get goosebumps while you mention it. Mm. Down there, they've suffered a lot. Not to be overdramatic, but they have. They feel like they've been neglected for a long time. So, you know, when I was down there, you'd hear about what soccer was doing, basketball, you know, the investment that the other sports were doing. It was actually kind of getting left behind. Like a lot of the assistant coaches, like their younger kids, they weren't even playing footy. So, which is a bit of a shame because obviously they love footy just as much as anyone. So I think it's pretty cool. And it's, you know, hopefully it goes ahead without any hiccups. It sounds like it's going to go ahead, but I just hope that, I think the people that are against it down there, once it's built and they're playing, I think they're going to realise it's going to be the best thing that's ever happened to the state. It's really exciting.
Couchy, great to catch up with you. Obviously, you've got a unique story when it comes to football. Obviously, we know that you had to do it the hard way to finally get your AFL chance under our good mate Neildy, and it was fleeting, unfortunately, for you. But you've made a great life out of football and also out of your ability with the strength and conditioning and the fitness side of things, and got to see things that only some of us mere mortals would only dream of being able to get to. Well, hopefully, we get to the four majors one day in the tennis. But well done to you on what you've achieved, and it's great to see you still running around kicking a footy at age, what are we now, 35?
Yeah, 36 in a couple of months. So, yeah, there we go. Try and finish the year in one piece. Yeah,
absolutely. We appreciate your time. We know you're a busy man, and really appreciate you taking the time to join us on Beyond the Boundary.
No worries. Thanks, boys.
From Tom Couch to Andrew Bosley, of course, made the move from South Barwon to Anarchy, or is that South Barwon's reserves that are running around in the GTF for now?
Wow,
Mawson, Jarn,
early clip,
McKee, Bosley. I didn't see Dullhouse at South Barwon. He's Leopold boy.
Yeah, that's right.
But among many a new face out there at Anarchy Reserve is Andrew Bosley. And I think he even managed to snag the number 24 that he wore with aplomb in the Swans jumper. He's been good enough to join us on Beyond the Boundary. How are you, Bos?
Yeah, very well, thanks. How are you, boys?
How are you finding the adjustment to the GDFNL?
Different's probably one word, but a lot of enjoyment down there, to be honest. Yes, the names that you just rang off at the end of your tongue was... It feels like I've just gone back in time about 14 years, to be honest. So enjoying running around with those boys, that's for sure.
So Jake Mawson, hard to say no to when he approaches you about joining him out at Anarchy?
Yeah, it was. I probably haven't shared the story about how it probably all unfolded, but he called me, I reckon, about June or July, and he said, I've got this phone call from Anarchy. And before he said another word, I just yelled out no and almost hung up the phone, because obviously I was well and truly fixated on what South are doing leading to hopefully a finals campaign. And I did say that if you were managed to get, you know, Paddy, Michael, Sean, Joel, Steve, and maybe potentially my brothers, it'll be very hard to say no to. And then I think he went away and did the rest. So it was very hard to say no in the end.
Bose, do you have any understanding about what the Anarchy football ground is like on a Thursday night in the middle of June? Do you have any understanding what that looks like?
No, I've got no idea. The only best way I describe where Anarchy was to a few people in Melbourne is I go, oh, you know where Ferry Park is, or the prison?
Yeah, that's it, Ferry Park.
And some, and yes, I remember venturing to Ferry Park when I was a young tacker with the family. But it's been really good, I suppose. Even though it's in the Geelong leagues, it's got that country feel to it. So yeah, the people out there are great. Obviously, having familiar faces makes the move always enjoyable. But yeah, we've spoken with the boys of some time about playing all together, and luckily probably for Jake's wish in taking the coaching role, it kind of, everything just kind of fell into place. So it was an easy decision in the end, but one not taken lightly.
It's not your archetypal country club though, because those facilities are pretty damn good out there, aren't they?
Didn't know what to expect when I first drove out there, when I met Jake for the first time, coming off, getting off a plane from a Europe trip and then straight into footy talk. I was amazed by the facilities, to be honest. I was little bit blown away how the, just a little gym in there, but also just the club rooms. It's one of the better ones I've seen in a long time. Mm.
Did you have to weigh up, Bose, obviously the disappointment of grand final last year, trying to go one more and go one better with the group at South Barwon this year? Did that factor into your thinking when you made your decision?
Yeah, it was by the far hardest probably decision that I had to make because of... Yeah, that's my second home away from home. It's been there for a long time. I have great memories there, a lot of good people, and being there during a time that we probably weren't getting success that we all probably come to expect from South Barwon, to kind of get a little bit closer to the goal everyone dreams about. A bit of soul searching while I was overseas. I jumped on a plane to Paris the day after the grand finals was probably a blessing in disguise. I just thought the opportunity to play with friends, and, you know, talk about in years to come was just probably enough for me to make the move. But, very, very difficult decision, to be honest.
It's a little bit different what you're getting service-wise out of the Anarchy midfield to Madigan, Mulroney, James, guys like that. Do you have to temper your expectations that you're playing at a lower level after so long at a high level?
I most certainly did. I most certainly do miss Madigan's left peg. We had a very good... understanding one another when we were playing for some time. I wouldn't necessarily throw Grub Mulroney in there. He can still throw a helicopter in or two. But, Sammy James and Doyle was, we probably had good synergy. And obviously, having those caliber players, you don't necessarily see a lot of them running around in the GDFL, particularly with their skill set. So, most certainly adjustment. And that's probably what we're working through at the moment down there. Mid-forward connection is probably almost some of the hardest things to get right. So, I'm still learning a lot of guys how they play. They're probably learning how I play, but that's a work in progress. But that's probably, I suppose, also makes it a bit more enjoyable that you're still learning no matter what age you are.
And I think that's the thing, Bo, is probably most people saw all the names on the in list at Anarchy and thought, oh, well, they're going to just go Barry Bananas here and win every game. But it does take some time to get some blokes together and actually be able to play a game of footy together, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I think we had 14 guys round one pulling the Anarchy jumper for the first time. I think we had a couple of new guys come in round two. And for the guys that probably watched live and seen it, you can most certainly see it. I most certainly feel it out there. It's just probably the disconnect and the things you take for granted, knowing where someone's going to go to, left and right foot, how far they can kick, what's the limitations. Are they one that always just kicks long or they hit that short 45? You know, all those things that you probably just learn just through training and playing with a group for a period of time. When you've got that high of turnover in one team, there is a bit of disconnect, but that's the challenges that we have as a footy club to iron that out, and we'll get better as every week goes on, the more time we gel together, and that's probably the biggest thing. Our endeavour's there. We're having a good crack of the footy, but we're just probably missing those things. But, it definitely won't be an overnight success, as much as probably everyone thinks or should happen. But, it does take time, that's for sure.
And in terms of then, you know, is it a 2-year, 3-year, 4-year project? Like, what's been the discussion with the, you know, the more mature boys in the who have been recruited and obviously the coach? You know, what's been the discussion around how long is this going to take or how long we're in for this?
I think what you've asked Jake would be last week because he's pretty much gung ho and wants to win a game, and you know, we obviously play footy to win games. I've never ever look probably further than 1 year horizon just with being a little bit older and how the body's coping. But I think for Jake's point of view, it's about just having people around that can help support him. And, you know, obviously we've all come together to play together and see what we can do. And hopefully that continues. But a lot will be probably decided when Jake goes around again, I'd imagine. So he might want to get... I think he's probably feeling the pinch getting a few W's on the board before he gets sacked too.
Off the field, Bose, what's keeping you entertained at the moment? Obviously work.
Yeah, just mortgage broker these days. So I made the change a couple of years ago. So living in Melbourne, which obviously has its challenges, playing in Geelong as well. So don't get to probably training as much as I would do in the last couple of years. But I'm quite fortunate that even when I was at South, but also with Jake understanding that my schedules were probably a little bit difficult to move around. So, but always finding myself back down Geelong, which is where family and friends are. So, busy life. Paying over the West Gates a lot.
So we obviously spoke to Couchy before about his tennis, your work in cricket. How far back was that now? That's a few years ago?
Yeah, I was doing a bit of work there. I was straight out of university out of Ballarat and then got a job at Cricket Australia, which was end of 2017. I was there for 5 years working in a variety of different roles. And probably like most people during COVID, you kind of reflect on what did you want to do long term. And that's when I kind of decided to make the jump almost 2 years ago to the day, I think, or a couple of weeks. Made a decision to become a mortgage broker and just probably felt it suited my skill set a little bit more. I get a little bit more autonomy. I've always had the ability to just kind of adjust my work around my footy life. So just things like getting the training visa or game day and those sort of things. So, enjoying the challenges that it's coming with at the moment. Obviously, probably a precarious situation with housing market and people can't afford homes these days. Well, not so. Well, certainly keep me busy, that's for sure.
Can you get me 0.5% off my home loan?
Oh, we'll see what we can do. I'm always, doors always open for new clients, so absolutely.
Give yourself a plug. Business, come on.
No, I will, absolutely. So I work for U Financial. We're quite lucky that we do have a little office down at Torquay Way. So we obviously, with the work with technology these days, we can service anywhere. But, got a very good company predominantly out of Melbourne, but yes, do have a bit of a Geelong flavour down the Torquay Way.
Good. Now, last one, obviously, you know, through your career, obviously being tall and a redhead means you're the target for some unwarranted attention from those over the fence. Have you copped anything over the first 2 weeks from opposition supporters?
I'm probably copping more from my teammates than others, to be honest. But not particularly. No, I think, obviously, over my time, I do sometimes like entertain the crowd at times. It does get me going, I haven't necessarily copped a fair bit over from the fence so far. But it's all a bit of theatre, a bit of fun, it's all enjoyment. So I'm looking forward to when it comes a bit more this way.
Wait till you get to Werribee, you'll be okay. When you go to the Centrals, you'll be okay. They'll give you a little bit up there. They always give nice big recruits a bit of a clip up there. Don't worry.
I remember umpiring when I was under 14 as a band jumper, and I reckon I was going to clip this being throwing the ball in. So looking forward to it.
And will we see you out at St. Joey's next week watching South with Anzac Day and obviously you boys not playing till Saturday?
Yes, I'll absolutely be surfing around. The boys had a good win in my absence, so them kicking a much big score without my needs is always a good sign. So, no, I will be there to do well.
You won't be able to have a couple of quiet ones either because you'll have training that night.
We've got training Wednesday night, actually. Oh, it just came through. But,
drinking after the last training session, surely.
No, I'm a bit of a good boy when it comes to that sort of stuff. I do lay off them. But I'll make the most of it once the season's done or on a Saturday night.
Yeah, very good. Bose, great to catch up. Congratulations on the move. I think the GDFNL is better for your involvement, and Aniki certainly will benefit from your wisdom and experience on the field, and we look forward to seeing how that all unfolds. We appreciate you taking the time to join us on Beyond the Boundary.
No, thanks, boys. Much appreciated.
From a former GFNL great to a GFNL great, one of the icons of the Colac Football Netball Club, has been good enough to join us on the line. Now, I'm not talking about Jock Brady.
Don't even got a laugh from him. That's good.
No, I'm talking about Joffy Simkin. Joffy, thanks for joining us on Beyond the Boundary. How do we find you on a Wednesday afternoon?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm actually down in Colac at the moment, so at work at the Colac Secondary College.
Now, you do a little bit of work. Talk to us about, I think it's Head Start you work for. Tell us a little bit about Head Start and what you do away from the footy Monday to Friday sort of style.
Yeah, so I work with Head Start, which is a Victorian Department of Education program, which is basically working in schools, working with kids from 15 to 18, year 10s onwards, helping them, you know, into school-based apprenticeships and traineeships, you know, supporting them through those later years of school, you know, helping them on their way into their pathway, really. Been doing that for about 5 years now.
Yeah, nice. Saw you down at Western Heights Secondary College a couple of months ago when they were doing some resilience project stuff. So is that one, I suppose, are the schools in the Barwon Southwest region part of your little catchment?
Yeah, they are. So Western Heights, that's where I'm based at. So they're one of my schools. But I've got a couple. I work down out at Bannockburn, down in Colac, down to Lawn to Polar Bay. So I was down in Polar Bay this morning catching up with a group of year 10s and having a chat about a few careers, things coming up. But, yeah, that's my area. But our group that we've got covers the Barwon Southwest region all the way down to the border in South Australia through Warrnambool and stuff like that, all the way up to Hamilton. And yeah, but the program Head Starts Victorian statewide, so it's everywhere.
Before I throw it to Jace, does anybody pick up on that you played league footy?
Yeah, every now and then, you know, I get the odd at question time it does bob up if I played at Hawthorn. So that does come up every now and then, but that was a long time ago now.
it's not that long ago.
Well, it's coming up 10 years since I'd finished, so it does feel like a while ago.
I can't handle that. I just can't. You can't retire, Joff, because if you retire, that feels like another piece of my youth has been ripped away from me.
No, well, 1 week at a time, I'll call it that.
Well, speaking about that, Joff, so last year, obviously the last couple of years have been pretty disappointing from a finals perspective for the Tigers. A little birdie tells me that there was a couple of phone calls here and there that you might have been involved in some, the possibility of coaching a local school for this year. Is there any truth to that rumour that you were going to retire and maybe coach?
Oh, there were a few approaches from someone, but...
Carso says hi too, Joffy.
Yeah, no, he did make the phone call, but I think they got a good appointment in Adam Cooney.
Yes, we're talking about the Geelong College for the people who don't know that. So Joffy's name was front and centre there for a while. But, I mean, what was the scenario in terms of you? Yeah, is there still unfinished business? You still think you can, you know, obviously play the game at that level, at GFL level. So what's the, you know, what was the thought process in all that?
Oh, to be honest, it was only a pretty general conversation. It didn't grow too many legs. It was only, it was over and done with pretty quick. I had a think about it, and then, that was pretty much it. He had a few other options there, and I just said not to worry. I'd committed to Colac, and, unfinished business, but I just enjoy playing footy still, and probably wasn't the right time to step into coaching, so... play for as long as you can, a lot of people tell me, but no, I'm just enjoying taking the kids along now and fills in a nice Saturday afternoon.
You snuck to 36 pretty quickly.
Yeah, I know. I don't like to say that too often because, it does make you feel old, especially when you're running around with 18 and 19-year-olds, and it does.
Is there anybody
make you feel old when you're pretty much twice their age?
Is there anybody in the Colac team that wasn't born when you played your first senior game for Colac back? You would have played a senior game back in 05?
Yeah, we actually had this conversation last year. I think it came up when I played my 100th game for Colac last year on the Thursday night. I think I was sitting around the table having dinner after training. And I think there was Will McLaughlin and Cooper Hayes and maybe someone else. I played
Tobin Murray,
yeah. There was a few. So it was I played my first game in 04, so 20 years ago.
that's impressive because there wouldn't be many blokes in the history of the GFL that would have a 20-year span between their first and most current game. I'm not going to say last game, Joffy, because there's 2025 to think about as well.
But I'm not sure about that, but we'll see.
does that blow your mind that you did a lot in between, and it would probably be different if you hadn't spent the years you did on an AFL list and playing VFL and stuff like that. But it's still does it still sort of can make you go, wow, 20 years between games is massive.
Yeah, it does. It does. Everyone says it. Your career goes quick, and it feels like you blink your eye and it's over. So it does feel like it wasn't that long ago. And I actually played a game last year with my first cousin, Charlie Buchanan and Max Buchanan, and I played with their dad in my first game. So that is a little bit weird. That's sort of starting to roll around now too.
I've got to ask you wore number 46 at the Cats in the four games you wore in the hoops. Did you ever think that the bloke that took 46 off you'd go on and play 250?
Well, I was thinking about that the other day, and no, I didn't. Especially I think we won the premiership in 2012 in the VFL, and he didn't get a game, so I didn't think his career was going to last that long, but it's gone on to be pretty impressive.
Yeah. He debuted against the Hawks on Easter Monday the following year. That's how rapid his rise was. He couldn't get a game in the VFL Premiership team, and I think it was round one the following year. He's actually lining up at AFL level.
Yeah, no, I think he was an elite athlete and runner and had a big pre-season, and Scotty gave him a chance, and he grabbed it, and he's been a great player.
So we're at we're at ground zero now with Colac, Bell Park last week. Not the result you wanted back at home. We were just talking then about, we sort of try and pencil in at least 6 or 7 wins for the Tigers at home. It's always a difficult place for people to travel down to. But just in terms of where you ended up last year and where you're at now, what's what's been the driver in pre-season? What's changed, and what are we looking forward to from Colac in the season?
Yeah, there's been a bit of change. We spent a bit of time with Brendan McCartney over the summer. We probably looked at our style of play a little bit, and obviously didn't hold up in 2 years in a row in finals. We had a little bit of bad luck in injuries and things like that, but I guess you look at the whole game and what's working, what's not, and we've had a little bit of a focus on probably trying to play more contested brand of footy and get the ball forward and in our half a lot quicker instead of maybe chipping around sideways and backwards and getting the ball off the line as much. So trying to be a bit more direct, and it was a bit tight, and it was a great game on the weekend. Bell Park, to their credit, they're going to be a good side. So when you talk about penciling games in, I think there'll be a lot of teams that will get a surprise when they come up against them this year. So hopefully we're still building on what we're trying to work on, and it shows towards the end of the year, hopefully.
The feedback from Macca would have been fairly direct, I would have thought, in terms of your game style and how he thought you might have to play the game.
Oh, definitely. I think a lot of people around Geelong have spent a lot of time with Macca, and contested ball is king. So we've had a lot of those sessions over the pre-season. It's been good. The boys bought in, and it's not making any secret. That's how we want to play. We want to win the ball in the middle, win it in the contest, and win the game.
How much footy is left in you, Joffy? Is this the last dance this year, or can you go into 2025 as a 37-year-old?
This year, to be honest, it's More my wife. She's let me play for a long time. But she started playing netball this year, so it's let me back in. So if she keeps playing netball, then I'm going to be there. I might as well keep playing if the body holds up. But, nah, to be honest, not sure. Yeah, look, I think at this age, you're one bad injury away from finishing up. But, yeah, happy to run around if they need me, but also happy to move aside if, you know, we've got a lot of young players that push me out of the way.
Would you run around at 12 o'clock? I know Veely and McGuan did last year. I'm guessing Veely's not, based on the way he walked off the ground and, you know, pretended it was all about him after that last home and away game last year. But is Muddy still going around?
Nah, Muddy hasn't been sighted since, so he's not there. Veely, I wouldn't be surprised if he maybe ran out this week. So, but yeah, to say that, I'm happy to play too. That doesn't worry me. You know, I think Jake McGuan said he's only flag he hasn't won at GFL level and junior level at Colac is a reserve flag. So maybe we get all the boys together and try and get one in the next few years.
Sort of Blues Brothers style, get the band back together.
Might be too old. It's pretty good comp, the reserves these days. So I think we'd be past it.
Yeah. Ah, very good. This week, Newtown. I was talking to Damien McMahon, their coach, earlier. They've actually never won under him down at Australian Lamb Company Stadium. So you probably start slight favourites against the Eagles.
Yeah, well, look, they're a bit of an unknown. They've obviously had a few move on out of the middle in the off-season, but, you know, they've been a strong junior club for a few years and they're all starting to come through now. So we'll probably suit them down here, big ground and young kids and can run around a bit. But, yeah, we're just looking to keep working on what we've been working on and, you know, hopefully that run continues of losses for him and we get on the winners list.
Absolutely. I do have Colac sliding slightly, Joffy. I'm not hiding that because I did say it on air when we did do our crystal ball, but I'm hoping that you do prove me wrong because, you know, good bunch of people down at Colac.
Don't suck up to him now. You put him out of the five.
I did put him out of the five. I'm happy to be proven wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Go, Joffy. Go. Yeah. You put him, make sure you
did
do.
Did you too?
No, they're in my five.
Did you know that? Just scraping in, did you say?
But they're in my five. Thanks very much. Yeah. Thank you. They're playing finals.
All right.
Thank you.
At West. Oh, where are the finals? Yeah,
they're playing at West.
Where are they at?
Well, grand final. You don't got to worry about what the grand final is, Joffy. It's at GMHBA.
Yeah, you know how all roads lead to GMHBA. Don't worry about where you play the other ones, Joff. You'll get through them and then you'll be right. I mean, Colac, Leopold, you watch this.
Oh, that'd be nice.
You suck.
Talking about sucking up.
Joff, I know you're a busy man with Head Start, doing some great work there, helping out youth find the right path in life. And full kudos to you for the work you're doing, and we appreciate you taking the time to join us on Beyond the Boundary.
No worries, guys. Thank you.
Now, one of the players that Joffy's going to come up against on Saturday is Charlie Byrne.
Yes.
Wow.
The reptile that is Charlie Byrne.
Yes. Apparently.
Oh, hello.
He's liking the feedback because he played well last week.
Really?
Well, not that he likes the feedback, but he's responded favourably.
He's gone, right, I'm going to show you blokes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, right. Flynn Young and the coach.
Yeah. Gone.
Then Matty Bogue last week on Beyond the Boundary. It got back to him.
Nice.
So, people are listening.
He's the new Jet Matthews. Newtown's version of Jet Matthews. You like that, don't you? Hey, we want one at every club.
What about Jet last week? He could hear us from the commentary box.
Yeah, didn't he? What about when we finished? And he was right near us. Hey, hello, here we go.
Yeah, we're underway. Flag defence starts on the right note.
Another season.
So thank you for the players. The Leopold Sporties is a lot of fun.
Absolutely, yeah. No, Pity was in. I couldn't believe Pity was good too. So, because he obviously got worded up a little bit because he wasn't there last year.
No,
so,
Jet Matthews. So
he's heard the Jet Matthews brand at Leopold.
All right. Where are we going to start? Let's start with the Ballerine, where it is round four this week.
Yes.
I am keeping a running tally. I have no idea what it is. Well, we get the first Battle of the Bridge of this year.
Really?
Mm.
Bowen Heads.
Bowen Heads as well.
Yeah.
Geelong Amateur and Torquay's a mouth-watering clash.
Oh, where's this at?
KFC Oval.
Ooh, Torquay.
Torquay as well. It's hard to go through champions, but it's hard to see them not.
I was going to say, it's going to take some. It's going to take some doing, I think.
Port Arlington and Motawarri at Port.
Oh no!
No Josh Hovey for a few weeks too. Didn't touch on him in the injuries, but really? We reported on that. Needed had finger surgery this week or having finger surgery. He played with it.
Really?
Took a mark late, kicked a goal, put him in front.
Good work, Josh.
Would you expect anything less from a Hovey wearing a Motowari jumper?
Absolutely. Motowari just.
Motta. Mm. Unless Port get back some of the gun. Yeah. Like, they got a minute.
They're missing a few, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big ask. Anglesey and Queenscliff.
At Anglesey.
At Anglesey.
Yeah, the Seas, I think.
Yep. And Newcombe and Drysdale at Grinder Reserve. They have put up some very competitive performances.
They have.
They have Newcombe. The Dinos.
The old dinosaurs.
The Dinos.
Drysdale.
Okay, Drysdale. That is round four. GDFNL is at round three. We spoke with Andrew Bosley earlier.
Yes.
I don't think they're beating Werribee Centrals, though.
No.
Corio and Bell Post Hill in the Battle of the Matt James Cup.
Oh, wow. Nice. Like it. Is it at Corio?
It is at Corio.
Bell Post Hill.
I'm going to tip Corio.
I know. That's good. Yeah, it's going to be a close game, that one.
Jack Green, unfortunately, injured last week, fractured elbow. Ooh. So a blow that's there so for good. The Ruckstocks. So they had Herschel Carr, Toby Bennett and Matt Jelinek spending time in the ruck last week.
Herschel Carr.
He kicked six.
Lazy.
Bannockburn and Thompson,
The Battle of the Tigers.
Yep. But which Tigers and which Tigers?
The Country Tigers and the City Tigers.
A lot of injuries at the City
Tigers. The Bill Keldo, John Mitchell Cup.
Right. A lot of injuries at the City Tigers.
There is. Yep. Where are they playing?
It's out at Vic Park.
Oh, yeah. Bannockburn.
Yeah, Banno.
Yes.
Inverleigh and East Geelong, flag unfurling.
No, Eagles.
Yeah,
I'm on the wagon.
Yeah, East.
I'm on the Eagles wagon.
Yeah, East as well.
Is Jack Dixon playing yet there? Yes, from Leopold
at East Geelong.
Yeah,
I haven't is he in seen. The team? Yeah. I haven't seen him named yet. Good player.
You're a good player. Good player.
Blue West and East Belmont.
Blue West and East Belmont. That's
sorry, great. Geelong West Giants and the Belmont Lions.
Yes. Where is it at?
I'm going to say Baker's Oval, but
yeah, well done. The backyard.
The sardine tin.
Stuart Scott's playing. Scotty Cowie.
Ernie Posman's playing for East Belmont.
Ernie Posman. No, I like it. Don't start that. Sorry.
Rod Doubledam. And do you know what? I reckon Rod will win the best in Ferris this year.
Well, he normally did. West.
West?
Oh, I don't know. That's tough now. West just.
Belmont Lions.
Yeah, righto.
Winchelsea and North Geelong.
Oh, is it at Winch?
It is at Winch, and Cassidy Parrish will wear a Winchelsea jumper, which has me tipping Winch.
Winch.
Winch?
Yeah, just. Another tight one.
Yeah, but it is. It's a good comp.
Yes.
Well, the fact that we've had to actually mull over.
Yeah.
Actually, we had to mull over. Of them. Over all those games.
Yep.
GFNL.
Yes.
Western Grovedale at West.
West.
I want to see teams.
Really?
Well, Moy Moy, you would suspect, is going back to Sydney.
Yeah. West.
Where's Tanner Lewis? See Geelong.
I tell you what, they wouldn't want to start 0-2. Because the coach will get really irritated.
West.
Yeah, West.
Colac and Newtown down there. Based on Joffy saying...
Based on Joffy, you'd nearly say the Eagles.
I'm tipping Newtown.
Yeah, I reckon Newtown might beat them, actually, from what we heard. Everybody's at a wedding.
North Shore and St. Joseph's. Are Ollie Northam serving a suspension along with Harry Smith for incidents from the weekend?
Mm.
That's right. They'll beat North Shore.
They will.
I don't think as comfortably as maybe where...
No, they're going to be competitive, the Shoreys. Mm. They're going okay.
South Barwon and Lara.
Yeah, the Swans.
Yeah.
That's in trouble.
Wonder if Dev will play this week.
I think so. I'm hearing next week or the week after.
Okay, maybe back for that Sunday.
Maybe, yes.
Give him another 8 days. Which will be broadcasting carrickfootball.live.
Yes.
St. Albans and Bell Park to go 2-0.
There's the Parkers. Here we go.
That's two of the 11 wins they need.
Who's counting?
Got told that the midfield of St. Albans was very good. So Sam Donegan played and probably put in a performance that has Preston
Jacob
or
Russell,
Northern Bullets.
Sam Donegan, Jacob Russell.
Yep.
Yeah. Sam Wolfenden back, I see.
He is back.
Yeah, that's good, which is good.
McDonald.
Yeah, Brock McDonald, yep. So
I think he got a week. So my understanding is he got a week for the incident with Angus Humphrey that then led to Ollie Northam providing the retribution.
That was the stitch.
So Brock will miss a week. So it's a blow for them.
Yes. But they're not going to win.
krockfootball.live match of the day.
Ho ho.
Last year's preliminary finalists and the previous year's grand finalists.
Oh, it's going to be, it's mouthwatering, Tom. Yep. Yeah, it's going to be difficult. Those three outs for Leopold, not good.
Noffy might still play.
Okay, two outs, but smaller ground, so probably helps them a little bit in terms of run. Oh, I don't know. Gee whiz. Well, on exposed form that we've seen, you'd have to pick Leopold because we haven't seen some errors yet, but, you know, they're always tough to beat at Anthony Costa too.
So who you tipping?
Leopold.
Yeah, tipping Leopold. You said that really quick. Jace tipped Leopold for those who didn't.
I'm not completely convinced on that. So Leopold. But might morph into some areas at some stage.
What have you heard?
What have I heard? I have heard that I'm hearing this, that I don't reckon every... So you said this a few weeks ago about coaching. I'd be surprised if every coach in the GFNL lasted the season. There you go.
We'll keep an eye out that.
Yep.
Don't ask me what I've heard because I've actually heard nothing that I can repeat here.
Right.
Even if I was to give even subtle.
Right.
It might come back and bite me on the backside.
Okay, fair enough. Yep. Well, you better not.
So I might save it for Saturday.
Right. Are you allowed to say it on Saturday?
I might be able to. By then, I might have a little bit more clarity.
Clarity.
Around.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I know a bloke who likes clarity. You work for him.
I do. He loves clarity. Yeah. Yes, clarity's great.
Right. Yeah. Carrickfootball.live, 1 o'clock.
Yes, so you tell us. Anthony Costa.
St Mary's and Leopold.
Can't wait. Going to be a great game.